Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. We've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and most of our business comes from referrals. Why? Because we make it so easy. Tight timeline, no problem. Groomsmen scattered all over? We got you. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Come see me at Knicks Menswear, and let's make this the easiest win for your wedding planning. Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The toughest part of that open, I chuckle every time, it's the truth. It is the truth after I was just destroyed at a basketball camp. Jim's here. Jim Peterson is here. He'll be on, I guess I'm just going to mention, he's on another radio station working with Alan Horton tonight. Is this nationally TV? Is that what we got?
It is. And incidentally, I don't know if you're coming to the game. You tend to show up at these games.
I'm coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I was requested by a certain Boston Celtics radio play-by-play guy.
Sean Grandy,
for you to be in attendance before the game to take a photograph with Kevin Harlan and himself, and he wants Grady to be in there as well. I texted Michael. Sean had texted me. I was kind of talk to, you know, the other broadcasters when we go to these cities or when they come to ours so we can get, you know, the lowdown. And Grandy requested your attendance for the photograph. I'm not sure what time it's going to be, but you're setting it up with Kevin Harlan. So
okay. If I can make it, so we're talking pregame. If I can make it pregame. I will. Could we do it, like, right in the middle of the game? You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe come down at halftime. I don't know.
Because you know me. I often, and I am again, going with Dermot. I'm going with my boy Griffin, who you know well, and then one of Dermot's sons.
Yep.
Jake, sometimes we might have a beverage at ODs, and sometimes we show up maybe second quarter.
I'd want to be a part of this photograph.
I'd love that. I'd actually thought about that when – the Clippers, there was a Clippers game in town where Kevin was also calling it, and because that's Brian Seaman, and I thought, if Kevin's there, Brian's there, I'm there, and Horton's there, outside of just a couple games the first year, that's every radio play-by-play announcer ever in Wolves history. But it did not work out. The Wolves have had a lot of great broadcasters. I'm not counting myself in that conversation.
Really, you are definitely part of them. I say this, you're the best interviewer I've ever been around and have seen. Like, you just are just so good. I mean, just even the rundown of your show. I mean, like, the fact that you can do the New Orleans story and political stories and have me on and have, you know, just Chad, you're a tremendous slouch. But a really good broadcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look yourself and my guy Greg Kelser, who's still working now, right? Quinn Buckner, 30, Len Elmore.
Some years.
JB, Billy McKinney, obviously. Kevin Harlan is the greatest radio play-by-play broadcaster in football and NBA history. Period. End of conversation. That's it. And he's top two or three on the TV side. I mean, there's going to be some playoff game in the next week or two where I'm going to be coming home, and it's going to be some close game, and I'm just getting in my car, and I'm going to think, I hope Kevin's calling this game. And he probably will be, and it's just great.
Listen,
Alan Horton, you're working with tonight.
So
Alan
good.
Is excellent. So Brian good. Seaman was great. So we're all just patting ourselves on the shoulder. Yep. We're all just amazing. And, you know.
And I know you miss it, and it breaks my heart that we can't, but, you know, so we had – Hey, we still have those 4 years together, Chad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's for the right reasons for Quentin Robert Hartman, I left.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my favorite job ever. Who are you talking about here, Dave's talking? Who do we have here?
I don't know who that is, but they're on ESPN talking Cotton Bowl, and the analyst guy they're talking about to New Orleans.
Oh my God!
Looks like he's got the painted on suit jacket. I've never seen the gun show through the blazer before.
I mean, he looks tremendous. Who's the most fit broadcaster right now in the NBA? Who just looks tremendous and is in great shape outside of yourself?
RJ is pretty good.
Richard Jefferson, yeah.
He's in pretty good shape.
He's also very humble, too.
Jim Jackson's in pretty good shape. Jimmy Jackson.
I did.
He does a great job with the Clippers, man. He's pretty fit. Oh, yeah.
That's if you're listening, Steens. Yeah. I just remember Richard Jefferson because our guy JB was such good friends with him, and he'd come over.
Yeah.
And I think he's very good. But my God, Richard Jefferson. He likes himself some Richard Jefferson.
He's probably one of the only broadcasters who would probably realistically show up to a game with just the suit coat on and bareback underneath. He'd be really like Corey McGetty, you know.
You're working radio tonight. Why not?
Do you remember when Michael Thompson was with us and he was talking about, he said this on the air. He was
so
talking
good.
About Corey McGetty, when Corey McGetty was playing for the Clippers.
I do.
And Michael made the comment on air that if he looked like Corey McGetty, he would play the game bareback.
That's exactly right. Bells would say so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Bells was so much fun.
Really
we had Michael Thompson, another great broadcaster.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll just finish. We all miss Hanny. You know, it's still
– Yeah.
It's still just crazy that Hanny is not with us because, honestly, there's no person on the planet who's made me laugh more than Tom Henman. No one. Not close. And just all those plane rides, bus rides, and I know you miss him immensely, too. Why don't we do this? Let's pause here, and then let's spend plenty of time on this team, where they're at, because the record isn't as good. It's clear. They were making some progress. Then they played a great Oklahoma City team. They were in it, and then just a horrible run blew them out. And then they play the Celtics, even though the Cavs have a much better record in the East right now. I still think everybody believes the Celtics are the team to beat. So where does Jim Peterson from FanDuel Sports, where does he think the Wolves rank with these teams? What has to get better? What is he like? And if you want to pose a question for Jim, you certainly can. 651-461-9226 on CCO.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Pete's back with us here. I want to read a paragraph from our friend Britt Robson, what he wrote today about MinPost. I think it's a very good recap of where the Wolves are at, because I want to start with the Wolves' main dog, Anthony Edwards. And here's part of what Britt has to say. The uncomfortable fact is that Ant has not been the joyous force of nature And the crunch catalyst so vital to team success the past two seasons, and he knows. He's talking about Ant this year. You can tell by his increasingly salty attitude towards the officiating, his extended bouts of lassitude. That's a new one for me, by the way, lassitude. That he's used primarily pockmark his play with respect to off-ball defense, but has invaded his offensive decision-making and initiation in recent weeks. We judge superstars at an extraordinarily high level. Britt does, I do, you do. Because if you ask teams, would you like Anthony Edwards, everybody would raise their arms, right? And there still is a lot to love, not like, love about Anthony Edwards. He's capable of winning games like he did against Dallas, like he did against Houston, where both those games he was great in the first half, kind of vanished in the second half, but then he can just be a killer at the end. He's also out there, as we've discussed, right now with a starting lineup where they miss Karl Towns' shooting a lot because Mike Conley has slipped back as of now. Rudy, people just don't guard him. Jaden, they don't guard. You know, so he doesn't have as much space as he did. So what is your fair appraisal of a very high bar for Anthony Edwards when you consider from the Towns injury last year through the playoffs, he was one of the best two or three players in the game. And then he's on the Olympic team, and maybe it was unfair, but expectations were extraordinarily high for him this season.
I mean, it's part and parcel of you just covered it, and Britt does a brilliant job of kind of, you know, elucidating and sort of cutting to the heart of the problem a lot of times. And, I mean, Britt's seen everything. He's been there from the beginning. I mean, yep. He knew him when the team first started. And he's been a brilliant writer and contributor, and the fact that he can be unbiased and be, you know, very surgical with his assessment is evident. And so, I mean, it starts with, you know, the starting lineup and the lack of spacing on the floor that you just talked about. I mean, like, Mike's not having the same kind of season that he had last year. Mike gave you everything he had last year, and he's trying to do the same right now. It's just that it's more difficult, you know, at his advanced age. I mean, he's small and he's older, so he's not quite this. He's still a good defender. I mean, he still, you know, gives you he's such a game plan kind of defender where he's always in the right spots. And yeah, he gets picked on sometimes, but for the most part, I think he's been pretty tough. But he's just not making shots. The floater's not even going down for him, which is something that is a little bit of a concern. And that two-man game between he and Rudy have kind of dried up, so that part of the Minnesota offensive ecosystem is sort of not there right now. So not that it can't come back, because it certainly could. And then they aren't grading Jaden. He's so hard on himself. You know, I just feel bad for Jaden because he's not making shots to the same clip that he wants to. And you're right, they're not guarding him. So I would just say Ant's having a difficult time because there's no driving lanes for him. And that's what he really wants to do, is he wants to attack the basket. So he's an excellent three-point shooter, but it's not the same for him this year because of you don't have Karl Anthony Towns and the gravity that he brought to the floor as well. So whether it was Towns playing off the catch, driving it, and then collapsing the defense, or him with his ability to shoot the three, it's just not the same. So The five-man starting lineup is just not the same. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's pretty plain and simple.
Yep.
And then, you know, when he comes in there and he's playing with Nas and when he's playing with Dante and Nikhil, like, things are more open for him.
It's
when he's
different.
Out there playing with those guys. It is different. So I just say that to say, like, you know, I think that Rob Dillingham has a chance to kind of help the cause a little bit, because his ability to handle the basketball,
who?
It's just that he is.
Who?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, Chris, you know, play him. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, Finchie's gonna have these things, like, and you know, you kind of forget that in you know, the year that Minnesota, you know, 3 years ago when they played Memphis in the first round, they were sub 500 at this time this time,
right?
3 years ago, and they were when they lost to Denver in the first round as well. They were sub 500.
Yep.
So, so you know, Finchie's got a way of figuring things out, and so that's just where I, you know, the guy is so smart, and he's. And his staff is so good. I just really feel like that he's going to figure this thing out, and not every season is the same. So, you know, he's somebody that really embraces Julius Randle, and I think that Julius is really doing his best to fit in and trying to figure out a way. It's just different with Julius than it is with Kat. So,
it is. And you know, Chris, 1,000% better than I. I mean, and I have immense respect for him. He's very patient. I sometimes wonder if he's too patient. That's just me. And I get it. You know this better than I. The Carl was traded for many reasons, and the money was a huge part of it. But also, Chris really believed in Julius Randle because of their time in New Orleans and just watching
and
him.
Dante. Dante was a big.
Oh
big
yeah,
part
but
of
I'm just I'm yeah. gonna I'm gonna get to the Randle part here in a second. There's no doubt. There's no doubt Dante was part of it. That starting lineup, period and simple, doesn't work. It just doesn't. And I know Julius is playing somewhat better of late. I just still think it makes more sense to me. I said it from like the day after. Start Nas, gets another space guy out there. Then when Julius comes out there, he's got the ball in his hands constantly. Now, that group coming off the bench, those three, Dante and Nikhil and Nas, is working well, and Julius is playing a lot with them. I just think Chris has to figure out the start of the games and just give Ant a little more latitude. And I think Nas would help out so much in that way because they guard him differently than they guard Julius.
Yeah, and he's a .5 guy. Like, you know, when the ball gets into his hand, he is .5 making a decision, pass, shoot, drive.
Yeah, right.
And so when Julius gets it, it's just different. Julius is looking to exhaust every option, I think, before he gives the ball up, whether it's to assess whether he can catch and shoot it, or whether he can, you know, jab step and maybe put it on the floor. Like he's just jab stepping and pump faking, and so it's not .5 with Julius. And so that's a little bit of a distinction that's a little bit different. So the ball movement, and so, you know, Nas also hasn't really spent a lot of time playing because Minchie's trying to get Julius, you know, acclimated and be a closer. Nas just scored his first crunch time points last ball game against OKC,
which
Nas
is stunning.
He's got two points in the clutch this year.
Crazy.
For Nas Reed. So, I mean.
See, that's
so
another reason why, because Nas hasn't lived up to last year when he was the sixth man of the year. I just, if it's not Nas for Julius, I don't know what other lineup change is notable enough. Because Nikhil, for a lot of minutes playing point guard, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's bringing Mike. And then I guess you got to worry about the dynamic of how Randle would accept, would he view this as, okay, I'm now the fall guy if I'm coming off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think something that I think about, which is not completely out of the question, is like sometimes I think Jaden could be flipped out for Nikhil, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's who Nikhil comes in for. And maybe Jaden could play some power forward. You know what I mean? Like have him be in a second unit backup to either play the 3-4 combo. But, you know, it's positionless basketball, right?
Yeah.
Who really cares?
That's a quick lineup, right? If you're out there with Nas and McDaniels and Nikhil and Ant and Dante, right? I mean, you're running up and down then.
So I mean, so I don't know. You're kind of limited in some of that because you do have the sensibilities of the players you have to be concerned about if you did flip them out and bring them to the bench. So I don't know. This is why I say, you know what, though, these things are. I'm going to leave it up to the coaching staff because Finchie's always been that guy that's always figured out these problems. These problems that pop up, he's got the ability to figure them out, and he's going to do it in his own time. And he's been a head coach for so long. He's just seen all these scenarios. So I just think he's gonna figure it out, and he's gonna pull out of these players the ones that are on our roster currently. He's gonna pull out the best in them, and he'll figure it out by the time playoffs roll around.
I know Karl Towns has his first great point guard. Again, Mike Conley, very good, right? Until this year, and he slipped back.
Yeah.
But Jalen Brunson is just a different cat, man. He's one of the three or four best point guards in the game. So he has helped Carl, but I just got to say it. I didn't value Carl Towns enough. I got caught up too much in the complaining of when you get mad about calls and the gesticulations. And I know he's playing great, but in hindsight, I was too hard on Towns. And I'm not saying Randle can't play and Dante's resurgence and blow up the franchise. I'm just saying Karl Towns, by a lot of us, and my hand is in the air, was undervalued.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to it, in a lot of ways, too. It's just, you know,
yep.
from his personality, and like, he's just a great person, and he really loved this community, and he did not want to be traded. He was very disappointed that it happened. And I think in some ways he still, you know, would like to be a Minnesota Timberwolves player. As much as his success he's having in New York, and how about him being on the MVP ladder right now too, which is totally justified. He's playing like an MVP category. They've just won, what have they won, 9 in a row now? So, in New York. So, I mean, he's been a really positive catalyst. And the fact that, you know, Tibbs had already had this relationship with him, and Gerson had too, and like the fact that they knew how to integrate him into the ecosystem. And they were trying to get him last year too. So, like, they've really wanted and coveted Towns, and knew that that's what Jalen Brunson needed. Jalen Brunson needed a floor spacer, and then, you know, it's just a good match for them. And I think a lot of fans here in Minnesota are realizing how great Towns was in so many ways. But it's not to say that Julius can't be, and that you know, the addition of Dante DiVincenzo and the combination of those two, because Dante is the man. Like, I just am really impressed with his defensive toughness and his confidence in his game, and the fact that he's willing to put in the work. And those guys always talk about the work, and like, this dude is like, you know, like, he is an absolute warrior. So, and his contract is very friendly for this franchise too, in a situation where they really need more, you know, franchise friendly contracts on their team.
Yeah. So. And again, I'm not downplaying Randle and DiVincenzo. And by the way, there was a protected number one involved, but we can't forget Karl. After this year, it's 4 years, $200-some million, and money just played a part. It just did, and it wasn't an edict from Taylor, it wasn't an edict from Rodriguez or Laurie. It was Tim Connelly looking at all the limitations you face, and the fact that Tim Connelly, and he knows he's not right every time, but he's not afraid. You know, I mean, and I like that a GM is not afraid. Doesn't. Me and I agree with them all the time. I still think they gave up maybe one or two too many draft choices for Gobert. But by the way, Gobert changed the franchise too. So there's a lot of things. I mean, I still think Conley's
there's Chad, there's a lot of brain power in this organization.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most brain power that I think this team has ever had. So between Tim and Finchie and the coaching staff and all the people on Tim's side, those guys are really, really hard workers, and they are connected. And, you know, when Tim Connelly calls somebody, they pick the phone up. So,
there is, you know, I agree.
There's a lot to be said about that.
I think they're, in their category, it's top five or six. They also have a team that's a little bit over 500. That's just a fact. You know, they have to play better. And tied to that, the last thing, and I saw this from following Alan Horton on Twitter, this is a 15th straight game where the Wolves have played an opponent with a record of 500 or better. That's a long stretch. That's kind of an undersold part of the Wolves' schedule.
And we're probably playing the two best teams back-to-back here in the league. So you're playing OKC at their place, and that was just an incredible thing to see up close. I mean, as much as I've watched OKC this year, to see them up close, again, the defense is even better than it was last year. They just have all these A defenders all over their roster, and the way that Dagnall's put it all together, that was impressive. And, you know, Boston's been struggling a little bit here too, by the way. So, like, they've you know, the Wolves have gone 5-5 in the last 10. So has Boston. Boston is just it's a good basketball team. So this is going to be a good test, too, on the national stage.
Can I have your parking spot tonight?
Man, I park on the street. I park in the lot. Man, I know.
You should have a parking spot. Dave Harrigan, do you believe this? Do you think, Jim Peterson has a parking spot?
I think Jim Peterson probably gives it away to a lucky fan every night because that's the kind of guy he is.
I would do that, but no, that's not the fact. I expense my parking.
Okay. There
that's
we
a
go.
Different, a different story right there.
I park in a good spot. I do park in a good spot.
Okay, so can I go and expense this because I can say I'm going because Sean asked me to show up for a picture?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to expense it here? Okay. Good luck. Good luck on that. All right, my brother. I'll see you down there tonight.
Okay, bud. See ya.
Jim Pete. normally with Michael Grady. As good as it gets tonight, as good as it gets with Alan Horton.
Mm-hmm.
On the Fan or on the app, I don't know.
They might not even know.
Yeah, they might not know, but it's worth checking out because they're great at what they do. Go ahead, remind people the bumper music theme today.
That's National Buffet Day. I could have taken that as National Buffett Day and played all Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, please,
but
God, no.
I know that would have really upset
you. Oh, it would have ruined me. I'm sorry he passed away, but by all accounts, speaking of the NBA, my Miami Heat friends said he was one of the biggest jackasses of all time.
He's also one of the great musicians of all time.
Yeah, not really.
Tell that to his bank account.
Not really.
He's doing okay.
It's because he had those restaurants, which are massively overrated.
That helps, too.
I'd take the cash, though.
I bet you would. National Buffet Day.
I'm not that principled to say, no, I won't make any money from potato skins. And by the way, I love potato skins.
Who doesn't love potato skins?
In fact, let's do this as a side topic. Greatest appetizer. What is the greatest appetizer? Because you just went through you just had a run of appetizers, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Christmas, all about the apps.
And I think New Year's Eve New Year's Day.
Oh, 100%. You feast on apps when it comes to New Year's.
Of the traditional appetizers, okay, can you beat potato skins?
You can.
With sour cream on them?
You can.
Can you?
Yes, you can.
Traditional ones. Now, don't get me like, I know you're caviar. You and the family, the beluga.
Are you talking traditional American apps?
No, this, you know.
So you can go as...
Okay, David Josephson has joined the show here. You know, when you were in a tent in Botswana with the family eating dirt, what other appetizers did have?
I didn't know how far you wanted to go.
Because
if you're ordering Chinese, they have certainly a different variety of apps. And
cream
you're
cheese
get
puffs.
Chi-Chi's.
Get out of here. Carter's not here. We're not going to Chi-Chi's.
They might make a mean potato skin.
If you could have either a cream cheese puff or an egg roll, which way are you going?
Probably the cream cheese puff.
Yeah, they're really good. But they need to be warm.
Yeah, you don't want the cold cream cheese.
Yeah, when they're crinkly.
That's not necessary.
I'm just trying to really, my words really carefully here, not get caught up here in the soundbite.
Smart.
Yeah, where you could throw it at me. How about the Hartman Rumaki? The bacon-wrapped water chestnuts.
Get rid of the water chestnuts.
Phenomenal appetizer.
You know what I made? Homemade New Year's Eve? Homemade mozzarella sticks.
Homemade mozzarella sticks?
I love the mozzarella. Okay. And it's not hard. I'm not a culinary genius. You take the cheese, you give it a little bread coating, and you pan fried it for 2 minutes. It was fine, but I love the mozzarella.
So among
sticks.
Get out of here.
Oh, the mozzarella stick is dynamite.
Are you honestly telling me that you would rather have mozzarella sticks over potato skins?
Yes.
Were you hypnotized into some evil human before the show today?
No.
Potato skins wouldn't turn their car around where mozzarella sticks live.
That's because potato skins lost their license if they went anywhere near where mozzarella sticks live. That's a gated community, my man. Only a select few are let
in. Elitists. You're the elitist. I'm not the elitist.
Just telling you, mozzarella sticks know where it's at.
Somebody reminds us, I was about to do a church. We'll get to that later. I think the appetizer topic is better. I like the appetizer topic better. We'll get to why people aren't going to services next hour, because then I can get to my football team before this hour is done, too, because we were screwed. Literally the worst call in the history of sports. I'll get to it.
Oh, they didn't make a call.
I'm
talking about.
Still ticked off about it. The first game in decades where I actually cared a lot who won. Okay? Somebody says, don't forget the yum-yum sauce.
Well, it's not an appetizer, but it's one of the great condiments of the world.
Here's where I am a fraud. Okay? And there are many, 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 many areas where I am
endless.
Some would call me Mr. Fraud.
Boundless.
There's a decent amount of mayonnaise in yum-yum sauce, right? It's got to be overwhelmed.
I'm not convinced about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why I like it, because yum-yum sauce, oh, my God, to die for.
I had
not literally, of course.
Three nights ago.
Maybe that wouldn't be a bad way to go. You know, you're near the end, it's peaceful, and they just lather you up with yum-yum sauce.
Well, you asked the question to Carter on Tuesday during Ask Anything, talking about the Duke's Mayo Bowl and the coach who gets the mayo put on them. What condiment would you like to be doused in if you won? I think yum-yum sauce is right near the top of the list.
Okay, that's another spin-off of the appetizer topic, 651-461-9226. You go home tonight, you have no choice. Okay, let's make it even more painful. Your family's held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is be doused in an appetizer.
In an appetizer or a condiment?
Condiment. I was just going to see if you're paying attention. In a condiment, which one? And then you're not giving me guac and salsa, are you?
No, absolutely not.
Your criteria is...
We set the standard. It has to be something that's been in your fridge for at least 6 months.
Well, then it's got to be brown spicy mustard.
And that's not a bad choice.
What do you mean? It's the right choice.
I would go with the yum-yum sauce because it's a little bit more runny. I think the spicy mustard would really stick to you, really get in the hair.
You want that? You want it in there for a little later? You can just reach up to the hair?
No, I don't want that. I want it to be able to easily wash out as the yum-yum sauce would.
This texter says, bake brie with brown sugar.
I mean, I thought we didn't want the elitist.
Yeah.
I bake my brie.
So we had some sweet potatoes back-to-back days. By the way, sweet potatoes are so underrated. Sweet potatoes are better than regular potatoes.
Oh, that's a lie.
No, it's the truth.
And sweet potatoes are good.
But you're running from it, and it's really embarrassing.
Would you rather have a sweet potato fry than a regular French fry?
Well, first of all, French fries, the most overrated side dish on planet Earth. Because they're hit and miss, and the onion rings are clearly better.
You didn't answer the question. You're running from the question.
Would you rather have mashed
sweet potato than mashed potatoes? Well, Yukon Gold?
If they're lumpy. Because you know what also is massively overrated? Soupy like potatoes.
Again, you're unbelievable at avoiding the questions.
Lumpy mashed potatoes are exquisite.
Of course they are.
Soupy mashed potatoes.
Disgusting.
Are what we should be feeding KSM at Guantanamo Bay. What kind of fries? Because there's 8 million types. So I got the sweet potato fries. They're fine. They're not the same thing as a sweet potato. Okay? I wasn't bragging up sweet potato fries. I was bragging up a sweet potato.
Yes, but they're made from the sweet potato, Chad.
Okay,
well, you just eat them raw?
So
okay, a sweet potato is better eaten raw than a regular potato. Chad Hartman says so.
Do you think people get confused on the sweet potato fry versus the sweet potato? No, they don't.
No, there's a large
difference.
Of course there is, but the product
is delectable all the time, and I was reminded again. You know what you add?
You just said it's not delectable all the time.
You know what is a great touch to a sweet potato? Cinnamon.
I can go with that.
Yeah, you can. Because you know I'm right.
I go with the sweet
potato.
Does
anybody put cinnamon on their fries? Of course they don't.
Well, you could.
So there's a big difference. They don't. Well, I could jump out the window, but I'm probably not going to.
That's because it's a double pain. That would be very tough to get out.
What if I was stuck in between the two pains? How long would I be here before somebody might call? I'd probably wait for Vanita because she's a nice person.
Yeah, even then.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They might just pull the blinds down.
I'm just permanently splayed in between the two planes.
Go sweet potato hash browns. That's where I've...
I don't think I've ever had sweet potato hash
browns. Over the last 6 months, I've been experimenting with those time and again.
Let me get back.
Not as good as regular potato hash browns, but a healthy and delicious alternative.
Chad, can I take you out to dinner sometime? Your choices make you sound like the perfect date. Of course. I mean, can I bring my gal, though?
You want a third wheel situation? This person asked you on a date. They didn't ask to be the third wheel.
I'm not asking this person to be the third wheel. This person could be the star of the event. I could be the third wheel.
God willing.
Yeah, well, most time I am a third or fourth wheel. Sweet potatoes are bottom-rung potatoes, should be outlawed. Oh, my God. Who is this disgusting human being? What happened on New Year's Eve to this person?
Sweet potatoes
are phenomenal. The Tim Russert potatoes, as I call them, in honor of Tim Russert, so overrated.
There are a lot better potato varieties out there. the red potato is right near the top.
The UConn looks at the Tim Russert potatoes and says, take your masher and get out of here.
The potato is so much more versatile than sweet potato. I'm sorry. The sweet potato cannot compete when it comes to things like fries.
I wasn't talking about his versatility.
Potato skins.
At what point did I say which potato is more versatile?
You said which is better in versatility.
Which
is absolutely
tastes
no. The
better.
Standard potato is a five-tool food item. The sweet potato is like two tools at best.
I'm not drafting him. I'm not signing.
Of course you're not, because you're taking
the
potato.
I'm not debating like I was starting Nas or starting Julius to decide if I'm going to start the sweet potato or the UConn. I'm just telling you, when they're both prepared at their peak, and I got my choice of the Tim Russert, the standard Tim Russert potato, or the sweet potato, it's not close. The UConn Jack potato gets closer, but it's not as good. There is a why. There's a smorgasbord. There's a cornucopia. There's a plethora of sweet potatoes. There's not just one, by the way. Do you think there's just one sweet potato?
Give me a variety of sweet potato right now. Go.
You look them up. What is the difference between yams and sweet potatoes? Good question.
Yeah. Well, see?
Your politics are bad enough from a texter. Don't be slamming the fries. Yeah, fries. Okay. Peak fry is what? Is it the crinkle?
No.
Is it the soggy traditional one that people just fall all over and lather with that disgusting ketchup?
I think peak fry is the type you might get at pretty much every, well, not every, but many standard kind of bar and grills. It's not the thin, you know, McDonald's fry. It's a little bit thicker. It's certainly not the steak fry.
Sounds like something that has to happen in your house.
But it's got the good seasoning on it. It's a good seasoning. The good crunchy fry.
Sounds like a dime a dozen. Whereas the sweet potato, not the sweet potato fries, but the sweet potato is never a dime a dozen. Sweet potatoes are better for you than potatoes. How about that from a texter? I'm also thinking about your health.
Yes, that is a healthier option. I agree with you.
That is. The potato is a five-tool item. Lots of question marks. Somebody's saying the bacon-wrapped shrimp. That's, well, you want to know where the best bacon-wrapped shrimp is?
Red Lobster.
Get out of here. With that, Kathleen loved Red Lobster. I spent so much time at Red Lobster.
Good.
No offense, Red Lobster. Eh. Murray's. The hickory bacon wrapped shrimp with their exquisite cocktail sauce might be their best item.
Are they open right now? Let's get some DoorDash going.
I would love. Tim Murray, if you're listening, please, for the love of God, bring us some of that. Somebody says, try Wells Roadside in St. Louis Park if you want exceptional fries. That's the place that's on 7 that it's turned over like 800 times. It's in between 100 and 169. Little drive-in action. Do we have enough drive-in food places in town? It's kind of tough to have it here when it's horrible.
Yeah.
11 out of the 12 months.
Tough situation when you're past summer.
Hartman Eats. Oh, Hartman Eats would be so much better than the other guy's Eats. I mean, come on. First of all, I'd actually pay for my Eats. That'd be a novel concept.
Mm, that'd help. Would you gram it as well, though?
Of course I would. Don't forget Lutefisk. Oh. I'd rather spoon with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed than eat Lutefisk and his hairy body.
I think I'd take the Lutefisk.
Would you?
I think I would.
Gross. Chili cheese dip. Where do you stand on the chili cheese dip?
Not an item I've had a lot of in my day, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Here's a fair question. What's always the young guys walking around wearing shorts in the winter? They're not bright.
No. They run hot. That's what they'll tell you.
They're not bright. That's what it is. A sports team has never been more screwed than my team was yesterday. We'll break that down and then get to the church and religious topic at 2:05. Who didn't want a little appetizer talk? What the heck? It's January 2nd. Had Lutefisk for Christmas. It was delicious. Had two helpings. Dave, I'm going to give you the number. I want you to call the police department. This person obviously is held hostage. This is a cry for help.
Perhaps Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is there.
Chad, your taste in foods has had me puzzled for a long time. I have to ask a question. Truly, no offense intended. That's always problematic, right? Like if I say that, you say that, or somebody says that to you, okay? Do you have a picky palate, or simply like having a picky palate to give an outlet to your rage, complain, raisins, ketchup, etc., smiley face? I'm just opinionated. That's it. And also, we're on radio. We're going a bit over the top on these things.
I think you're far from picky. I think you refuse to admit that some of the foods that us commoners enjoy are actually tasty.
Commoners. What? Give me a food item that I won't eat that's viewed as a commoner food.
Raisins.
It's a failed food. I like foods that succeed and reach their peak. They should be a grape.
Yeah, you are a wine fan, which means you like grapes that have been stomped.
I'm well into dry January, too.
Congratulations.
Yeah. How far are we into January?
I think only day two.
Oh, it's day two?
Yeah.
And I'll be having a glass of wine out of Donovan's in about 4 hours.
Yeah, another failed grape.
Made a good run. No, I love food. I absolutely love food. I love a variety of food, but there's also some foods I just don't like. Am I picky? Yeah. Do I end up paying more for food than I do for other things in life? Yeah. Just everybody has their areas, but I love a dive bar. I love a greasy spoon that has good food also. Now let's get to my Sun Devils. ASU grad of 88. School on the men's top two sports have underachieved at an epic level. And so a couple years ago, they had this guy, Kenny Dillingham from Scottsdale, offense coordinator with the Oregon Ducks, and didn't do a lot. Herm Edwards, the previous coach, had led them to loss after loss after loss. And, oh, by the way, NCAA sanctions. Because the Pac-10 disappears, they end up in the Big 12 where they're picked last, and out of nowhere, they're great, mainly behind this stunning stud football, quintessential football player, fullback, Cam Scataboo, who looks like he's about 5'2", 400 pounds, runs you over, but also can throw. And like yesterday, I thought he was concussed, to be honest. He was throwing up, just so many hard hits. He was laid down on the ground. He'd leave for play, come back. And they're playing maybe the most talented team in college football, Texas. Texas scores 2 touchdowns quick. It's 14-3. Then later, it's 24-8. It's done. It is done. But are you familiar with Muhammad Ali?
I've heard of him.
Are you familiar with Rope-A-Dope?
Yeah.
Are you familiar when Rocky fought Apollo and the second fight where he fought right-handed and then Mickey said switch and he went to left-handed?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. We come back to tie the game. And we're gonna go and win the game. And it's 3rd and 15. And our quarterback throws it. And our kid was targeted. 100%. That's a football penalty when it's helmet to helmet.
Defenseless receiver.
Defenseless receiver. Official after official after official on Twitter. And any of you whose eyes work, he was targeted. It's now going to be a first down late in the game. We're going to march now.
Just over a minute left.
I think our field goal kicker for the year, and I'm not kidding, was like 3 for 14 or something. We're going to pull off one of the great upsets of all time. And America is rallying to the Sun Devils. Were you on Twitter at that point by any chance?
No, I was not.
America was rallying. I'm also getting like 30 texts with Michelle. She's like, you get a lot of texts in this game. They all know I'm an ASU guy. And where was the officials? Where were the officials?
They were there.
They screwed us. They even reviewed it. They don't call it. Then later, in overtime, after we score first, in that stupid college football overtime where we start on the 25, can we just play football? So we score. Jake the Snake Plumber is inspiring us on the sidelines. Where's Phil Mickelson? Where was I? You know? And we've got him down. The Texas Longhorns. I don't think I saw McConaughey on the sidelines. He was texting me throughout the game, too. He's just bugging me. 4th and 13. All we have to do is stop them.
That's it.
And we advance to face the winner of Oregon-Ohio State, which should not be Ohio State. And I'm told that Ohio State would have tapped out. They would not have played. And our idiot defense coordinator, who they just signed to a multi-year contract, when it's 4th and 13 and we're going to win the game in overtime, you know what he decides to do? Zero blitz. And was he like B-Flow? Did he sneak it up there? No. Instantly, they're up there. And I'm saying to Michelle, because we're watching, because she likes ball, too. And she loves America. And so she loves ASU. Well, if they're showing blitz this early, there are no way they're going to blitz. Watch, they're going to drop back. And I'm saying this in slow motion. These idiots are blitzing at 4th and 13, and they've got them all blocked. Boom. Cornerback, I don't know what happened, goes right by him. Texas scores. They score in overtime. And America, as I tweeted, America was weeping.
It's okay for a cornerback to cover a receiver. It's not illegal.
I would like WCCO to not carry the national news or local news and have 7 minutes of silence coming up to say goodbye to the Sun Devil football team.